I'd like to refer to two well-known passages of Scripture, and the first is in the book of Numbers, and that's on page 205 in the Bible I'm using. Book of Numbers, chapter 21, and reading from verse 4. Numbers 21, verse 4, page 205. And they, that's the children of Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to go round the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt that we should die in the wilderness? For there is no bread and no water, and our soul loathes this light bread. Then Jehovah sent fiery serpents among the people, which bit the people, and much people of Israel died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, in that we have spoken against Jehovah and against thee. Pray to Jehovah that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten and looketh upon it shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, and he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 3, on page 1269, John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. As I say, these are well-known scriptures, and trust that something fresh might be brought out tonight in the reading of them. But my thought tonight in relation to the gospel, dear friend, is looking up and living. I read an article recently that mentioned the fact that in today's world, we're encouraged ever more to look inward for solutions to our problems. Sometimes you'll be encouraged to look outward and ask for help. Generally, you'll be asked to look inward first, but you're hardly ever asked to look upward. And you know, tonight in the gospel, that's what God is asking you to do tonight, is to look upwards. Because, you know, that is where you will find the answer, dear friends, to all your problems. Because there, dear friends, up there in the glory, is a man that I know as my Saviour, and his name is Jesus. And he's the only man, dear friend, that God is presenting tonight in the gospel as the means whereby you can be saved. And you say, well, what do you mean by being saved? What do I need to be saved from? Dear friend, you need to be saved from your sins. And it's so important that you understand, dear friend, that each one of us is a sinner. Because we're born in sin. Scripture tells us, and shapen in iniquity. It's what we're born as. This condition of sin, which is against God. Sin, all sin, is against God, dear friend. And if you and I are ever to come into blessing, it involves, dear friend, that whole matter of sin has to be dealt with. And you know, the wonderful news in the gospel is that you don't actually have to do anything. Because the work has been done. The work has been done by Jesus, by God's only Son, who was sent into this world as a babe. Even the children are familiar with the story of the incoming of Jesus, how he came in as a lowly babe and found in a manger in Bethlehem. Who was there? You know, you think of the message that was proclaimed from the glory. The angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth," when they saw in flesh their Creator for the very first time. Now, you know, I know this is something that you've probably heard time and time again, but the story of how Jesus came, the story of the incarnation, is so wonderful that we should never let it dull in our affections and in our senses in that sense. The fact that God was prepared in his love for you and for me, was prepared to send Jesus into this world, dear friend. And you know why he came? He came, dear friends, to die. That is ultimately why he came. He came, dear friend, to display the heart of his God and Father. A heart, a God that only has love in his heart for his creature, despite the fact that man has no interest in him. And we live in a world that is so disinterested in the things of God, you know, but yet God's heart remains unchanged. It remains unchanged, and so the gospel message remains unchanged from when it was set on over 2,000 years ago, you know, when it was first preached. The message is still the same. What was the message that was said to the jailer, the Philippian jailer? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." How wonderful that is, you know, dear friends. To come to a realization in your heart, in your soul, that you need a Saviour, that you have a deep-seated need. Now, you know, I believe it's true that man is created with a void, you know, that only Christ can fill. I believe that's true. And I think you see that throughout the world, that man strives to excel in all different kinds of things in order to satisfy himself. But the fact is, dear friend, nothing can satisfy you except Christ. That is absolutely true. And Jesus is the only one who can satisfy the longings of your heart and soul, dear friend. And so he's available tonight. He's being presented as a Saviour for you. The one who came in such lowly form. The one who lived a perfect, spotless life. The one who never did anything wrong because he was sinless. You know how I said at the beginning that each one of us is born in sin? The Lord Jesus was completely unique in that he was sinless. Absolutely sinless. Not one measure of sin was upon him because he was the precious, holy Son of God. And so he lived a perfect life, you know, and he went about, and Scripture tells us, you can read it in the Gospels, how affecting it is to read through these wonderful pages when it tells you all about what the Lord did when he was here. Yes, the miracles that he performed and the ones that he came into contact with that were healed. But, you know, he brought in peace. He brought in joy. He brought in comfort. All the things that he can still do tonight if you accept him, you know. And so, but despite the fact, you know, that he brought in all this, and it says he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But you know, that was not enough, dear friend. I know I mentioned it earlier on today, but that perfect life lived was not enough to secure your salvation and mine, dear friend. It involved that perfect, spotless life be given up in death. And that should affect us, you know. Should affect our hearts afresh that the blessed God sent his only Son into this world in order that he might die for you and for me. You know, he didn't die for himself. He had no need. Death had no claim on him. The Scripture tells us that death has come in as a result of sin. Thus death has passed upon all, for all have sinned. But death had no claim on Jesus. Yet, he voluntarily went into death in order that the blessed God might have a righteous basis to come out in blessing to lost and ruined sinners like you and I. How wonderful that is, How it should affect us. That he was lifted up. That's what the reference is here. The Son of Man, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up. It speaks about them lifting up the cross. And he was suspended between earth and heaven. He was made a spectacle of, dear friend. Crucifixion, was an awful, awful form of death. And it was usually reserved for common criminals and those that had done terrible, terrible things. Like both men that were on either side of the Lord, malefactors. And Jesus in the middle. How it should affect us, that God allowed men to treat Jesus the way they treated him, You think of it. You think of who was there. You think of how they hit him over the face. You think of how they spat upon him. And they nailed him to a cross. And they lifted him up to die. Think of what they said. If thou art the Son of God, come down from the cross and we will believe in you. That's what they said to him. I can tell you tonight, dear friend, that if he had come down from the cross, there would be nothing to believe in. And I wouldn't be here tonight, standing here, presenting the most wonderful message that the world has ever heard. Because without the death of Jesus, there is no salvation for sinners. That's how simple it is, dear friend. Man might like to present you with alternatives, alternative religions, alternative ways to make yourself right with God. But there is only one way, dear friend. There is only one way of salvation. Thank you that God, the hymn says, would have spared not his Son if by a creature the work could be done. Let us not belittle God's plan of salvation. Somebody mentioned locally with us a few weeks ago that the plan of salvation is so wonderful and so perfect that it can only have been devised by divine persons, by the blessed God himself. How true that is. It's not man-made at all. It's all from God, and it emanates from his own heart in love to you, dear friend, that he desires your blessing. Ever since the fall of Adam, the fall of man, in the Garden of Eden, God has sought a way back for the sinner. And it's not as if God didn't try man in every other department before he sent Christ. And I don't mean that that was not always his intention. But man was tried under every department, and he failed in every one. What does it say? Last of all, I will send my Son in relation to the vineyard owner. Another scripture says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Well, dear friends, what a wonderful Saviour we have to present tonight in the glad tidings. And yes, he was lifted up to die. And he delivered up his spirit. And he went and was placed by hands, loving hands, in the tomb. And man would like to think that was the end, but thanks be to God. He was raised by the glory of the Father on the third day. And how wonderful, therefore, that in the gospel we present a living Saviour. One who lives at God's right hand, who is crowned with glory and honour. That's my Saviour. And it's the same place that the wonderful message of the gospel is flowing from tonight. And I love to think of the doors of heaven being wide open in blessing tonight. That's where it's streaming from. Because, dear friends, we're living in the day of grace. I can't tell you for how much longer. We don't know how long this wonderful dispensation is going to go on for. But tonight, here and now, behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, dear friends, it's a question of looking up. Looking up to see the man in the glory. And receiving life through him. And you know, I just thought that that scripture in Numbers that John 3 refers to is a wonderful illustration of the work of Christ. And I know it's been presented plenty of times in the gospel. But that doesn't detract from the fact that it is that wonderful illustration. And this was this was the people here, children of Israel, and despite all the experience that they'd had with God, a God who took them out of Egypt, who released them from the bondage that they were under, took them out in power, crossed the Red Sea and the miracle that involved, and he took them through the wilderness. And time and time and time again, you know, the people murmured against God. And you know, you might say, oh, well, that's terrible, you know. Think of what God did for them. But how close that comes, you know, I speak for myself, but it does come pretty close, you know. Blaming God for the circumstances they find themselves in. Now, man's doing that today. Anything that goes wrong is God's fault. Total failure to accept his own responsibility. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt that we should die in the wilderness? That there's no bread, no water, and our soul loathes this light bread. That's a reference to the manna. That was God's provision for them, that they might be sustained throughout the wilderness. They were God's people. He wasn't going to let them die in the wilderness. Yet, their faith was lacking here. They were losing faith. And so, Jehovah sent fiery serpents among them in order that he might teach them a lesson. And it does, doesn't it? It says, we have sinned in that we have spoken against Jehovah and against thee. Pray to Jehovah he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. What does Jehovah say? Jehovah said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten and looketh upon it shall live. Now if you think of the greatness of the camp that the children of Israel would have been in, this would have had to have been a pretty big pole for everyone in the camp to be able to look up and see it. And isn't it interesting as well that it's the image of the very thing that brought in death? It's the fiery serpent. It's an image of the fiery serpent. Now, I liken that, you know, to Christ made sin. Christ made sin on the cross in order, dear friends, that God might judge it completely in his well-beloved Son, because he was the only one that could do it. Paul tells Agrippa, this thing was not done in a corner. You think of that. Think of the public spectacle of the cross. That it's calculated, dear friends, to affect us. And in the same way, that they were told that everyone who looked up at the serpent of brass lived. That was where life was, in a look at the serpent of brass. And dear friends, tonight, that is where life is to be found, in a look at the cross of Christ. See there the love of God told out in full extent. When Jesus, as the hymn says, to those depths of darkness went. You think of that. Think of the way that he's been, dear friend, in order that you might come into a relationship with the blessed God. I think it's wonderful. There's no greater blessing, you know, than knowing Jesus as your Saviour. And he's often referred to, dear friends, as an all the way home Saviour. What does that mean? That means that he'll be with you all the way in your pathway down here until he returns or he takes you to be with himself. What a wonderful hope the believer has, you know. People in the world speak about hope, but it's nothing compared to the hope of the Christian, the hope of the believer, because it's nothing to do with this world. It's completely out of this world. What God has, it speaks about things that are not uttered, that cannot be spoken about, what God has prepared for those that love him. The fact is, dear friend, that Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back to take all those who've trusted in him to be with him forever. That's wonderful, you know. Are you looking for that? Is that your hope? Is it in your heart and soul? Is it burning there, you know? Are you yearning for the return of Christ? We're challenged in relation to these things. Those of us who've put our faith and trust in him, we are challenged as to whether our souls are burning for the return of Christ. And to see him ultimately acknowledged in the very place where he's been cast out and rejected, you know. God will see to it in a coming day, dear friend, that every knee will bow to Jesus. It speaks of earthly, heavenly, and infernal beings will all bow the knee to Christ. The wonderful thing tonight, dear friends, is that you have an opportunity to bow the knee to him tonight and come under his wonderful sway. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and come into the wonderful blessings that God has in mind for you. To be an ambassador for the gospel. You know, each one of us can be an ambassador for the gospel. We were speaking about gifts in the reading, you know, but it doesn't require a gift just to pass on the story of Jesus, does it? Of why he came and why you've accepted him as your Saviour. Like the woman in John 4. She became an evangelist. Come see a man. Come see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ? Well, that's the invitation, isn't it, in the gospel. Come to me, the Lord Jesus says, all ye who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, dear friends, it's a simple word, feebly presented, but just desire that you might come to him tonight, that you might look up and live, dear friends. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.